reading to you from 1 John, the first chapter, and with the 8th verse. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. You see, Cecil, you know, you sure spend an awful lot of time talking about how you met Jesus. Well, beloved friend of mine, that's the most important decision Cecil Moe ever made in his life. And if you don't know Jesus, it would be the most important thing that you ever done. Believe me. A lot of people say, well, Cecil, there's so much going on in the world, I just don't believe the Bible. Oh, beloved, I beg of you to believe the Bible. You don't want to miss heaven, do you? Well, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 20th chapter of Acts, and let's begin reading with the 22nd verse. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. I've labeled this, Paul could not be stopped. What was Paul's destination? Well, it was Jerusalem. He longed to minister in that historic city. He hoped to arrive at Pentecost because he wanted to get there when all this wonderful things was to happen. Paul received many warnings of trouble along the way. Hey, listen, friends, you've heard it said by many of these ignorant, unlearned namer and claimers that once you have given your heart to Jesus, you don't have a thing to sweat. You will be healthy. You will be wealthy. You will never be sick, and whatever you want, you just got to snap your fingers or speak it, and God has got to do it. Oh, dear friends, that is the farthest thing from the truth. By the way, you remember years ago there used to be a TV program about genie, and she'd pop out of this bottle? Well, now, God is not a genie, and you can't rub God every day and get what you want. God wants you to be happy, God wants you to be fruitful, and God wants you to experience the good life. But let me tell you what, Christianity, if someone tells you it's a snap of the fingers, they don't have it. Christianity is not easy, but it's the best thing I've ever found. Oh, I highly recommend salvation. Not only did He deliver me from alcoholism, but He called me into a ministry. Now, everybody's not called to be a preacher, but I will assure you, beloved, every born-again, blood-bought person is called of God for a job. And many Christians are so unhappy, they run around looking like they've been baptized in pickle juice because they don't do what God wants them to do. Did you think He just saved you to take you to heaven? Oh, beloved, you're in for a surprise. God has things for you and I to do. Now, like I say, I'll soon be 82 years old, and I'll guarantee you I'm just buzzing, because I have found the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer, beloved. You say, Cecil, you know what? My husband just died recently, or my wife just died, and I really don't have much to look forward to. Listen to me. You have everything in the world to look forward to. You have a life to live for the Lord. If you do according to what He wants, you'll have a joy. I'm not going to say you're always going to be happy, but you're always going to have a joy if you follow the teachings of the Lord. Now, when Paul was told that he was going to have trouble along the way, it didn't scare him one bit. He said, none of these things move me. What motivated Paul to head into danger? I'll tell you what it was. He was determined to complete his ministry. And, you know, in the book of in Acts, the 9th chapter, it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. Oh, my stars. Paul knew he was called. Friends, listen, you know the saddest thing in the world? The saddest thing in the world is a Bible in the hands of a fool. You know, beloved, when God calls you a fool, you're in a whole heap of hurt. That's right. But the thing is, I just want you to know that Paul was one of the great ones of that day, and he actually literally turned the world upside down for Jesus. Meeting Christ on the Damascus Road changed him. And here's what he said, what will thou have me to do? Meaning full surrender. Paul's ministry meant more to him than life. He said, neither count I my life dear. His life had been in jeopardy many times. Here's a man that was very religious, and I'm talking to some people tonight who are religious. You're good people, and you're religious, but you're lost. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, was out every time he could knock a Christian in the head, or put him in jail, or help him be stoned to death. Old Saul thought, my, I am doing a service for the Lord. He said later, I did this in all ignorance. I didn't know I was wrong. Well, let me tell you what happened. He was trucking on down the road to go down there with some boys down to Damascus and get some more Christians that they could knock in the head or kill or put in prison. But let me tell you what happened. There was a great light appeared, and boy, it knocked Saul of Tarsus to his knees. And then he heard the Lord speak to him. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It meant all in the world to him, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may be all means save, by all means save some. Well, Paul knew that God had a work for him. And Paul was told, look at, you know, when Ananias laid hands on him and he got his eyesight back, this next day, or a couple days later, Saul, or Paul now, was he was in his synagogue and he was preaching up a storm. He's preaching Jesus. And some of those guys said, hey, wait a minute. I saw that guy when they stoned Stephen to death. I saw him. In fact, the matters, he was actually holding Stephen's coat. Did you know what happened? When Saul saw that they were stoning Stephen, he saw that a Christian died good. Christians die good. And he saw what God can do with a spirit-filled, spirit-led man. And then he wanted to be forgiven. Stephen wanted his friends forgiven. But I'll tell you one thing. Saul couldn't get that out of his mind. Seeing that great man being stoned to death and giving up the spirit, giving up his life, and dying and saying before he died, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Didn't that just what Jesus said? Forgive them, for they knew not what they do. Well, anyway, reaching souls had become Paul's passion. And like I just read you a minute ago in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul's ministry was to reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said here? He used every means possible to all people. He didn't care about their color. He didn't care about their status quo. He didn't care where they went to church. He was concerned where they spend eternity. Do you know what it said in Acts 20:20? It said, let me get back to 20:20. Here's what he said. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. Today we have large churches. Now the big deal is the mega church. We have a mega church back here. Their pastor was a homosexual. You say, well, my stars. And yes, he was. Oh, yeah. I know a church up here right now. I know them real well. And their pastor and his wife wasn't eating enough. So the doctor put her on wine. So, boy, they started scoffing wine. I was going out of style. The other day, they caught him drinking and coming out of a strip bar. And, you know, I think the church is going to let him back in. I really do. Well, I can tell you this right now. If there's no repentance, that church will surely fold. That's one of the terrible sins we as pastors, and I'm not a pastor, I'm an evangelist, can commit is fornication. It's a terrible sin, and it will destroy a church. It could even it can destroy a city. Well, Paul preached both to the Jews and the Gentiles. Didn't make any difference to him what they were. He was committed to fulfilling his ministry. Now, Paul's goal was to finish well in verse 24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly. Oh, my stars. He just wanted to finish the race. He wanted to do everything to please the Lord. He wasn't satisfied with only past accomplishments. Oh, no. There was no resting on his laurels, and he seized each day for ministry. See, Paul believed God's plan reached to the end of life. And how many times you've heard me say this, that God doesn't care whether he's not really concerned about your education. We stress so much today, you have to have degrees, you have to have 4 years of Bible college, then you have to have seminary. We stress that, really stress it. And some of the trash that's coming out of our seminaries today is abomination to the Lord. I've told you before that when people make application to come to pastor in our Colorado, at Denver, Colorado, they want to know how far the ski slopes are from their church. They want to know how many days of vacation. They want to know if they're going to get a chance to go to the Holy Land. Oh, dear friends, listen. God's looking for men and women who has a desire to introduce men and women to Christ. And beloved, believe me, if you had to have all those qualifications, Cecil Moe wouldn't ever be able to preach. Because I don't have a lot of their qualifications. But I have a call. My call is as sure as my salvation. And I know I'm saved. Absolutely. Well, I said Paul longed to complete his divine calling and delight. Let me tell you a story that's a real wonderful story. I was going to Bible college in Riverside, California. We had a nurse there that told me one day, she said, Cecil, you know, there's a little old 80-year-old lady over to the hospital, and she's praying to die. She's a little Nazarene lady. I wish you'd go by and pay a visit to her. Well, I was out trying to serve the Lord, and I wasn't getting any preaching, so I went over there, and I said, what room is Mrs. Fisher in? And they told me. I went in there and she was praying, "Oh God, take me home. I'm blind. I can't see. I can't do anything. Just take me home. I'm ready to go." And I went over and I put my hand on her hand and I said, "Mrs. Fisher," she said, "who is this?" I said, "I'm a young student over here at the college, and I'm telling you, I've heard some selfish praying, but that's a dandy." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Just what I said. You're asking God to take you home when you haven't finished your job." "Well, what is my job? I'm blind and I can't see. What can I do?" I said, "I don't know. Well, I'll tell you one thing, he knows. Now, what, instead of praying for him to take you home, I want you to start praying, 'Lord, what do you want me to do before you take me home?'" Now, I visit her every other night, practically. And one night I went in there and she said, "Brother Mo, I wish you would go talk to that little black sister who's at the end of my bed. She's going home tonight." I said, "How do you?" I thought she meant home, not heaven. And I went over and I said, "My name is Cecil Moe, and Miss Fisher said that you're going home tonight." "Oh, yes, sir. I sure is going home." I said, "To heaven?" She said, "Yes, sir." She said, "My husband was a pastor of a large church. He was a soul winning preacher. And God took him home a few years ago, and I've been anxious to go see him. And the Lord told me tonight I could go home. And so I took her by the hand and we prayed together." Did you know that night God took that sweet little sister home to see Jesus and to be with her husband to see him? Oh, friends, listen to me. If you're not happy, maybe it's something that you're not doing. I don't know what he wants for your life. Beloved, I don't know if he wants you to be what he wants you to be, but I know if you look in the Word of God, you'll find it. Hey, there's nothing in this life you need to know that's not in the Bible. Not a thing that you need to know is not in this book if you'll search the Scriptures. But you got to look in there and don't listen to everybody else. I used to listen to advice of other people. I found out that's not right. Well, it's good advice once in a while, good. But let the Lord lead you. And when God leads you, you'll know it. You know, someone said, "Well, Cecil, how do you know?" Many times, how do you know what God wants you to do? Well, let's supposing I decide to buy a new car. I'd start praying about my wife and we would start praying about this car. But all of a sudden, I would be getting awful feelings. Oh, terrible feelings. She'd get terrible feelings. I was not at ease. I wasn't at peace. And I knew what God said, "I don't want you to buy that car." And that's the way it is in a lot of things in our life. If we ask him and we continue to pray about it, he'll reveal sooner or later whether it's a yea or a nay. Now, you say, "God don't answer my prayer." Listen, don't tell me that. I prayed for my oldest brother for 26 years before he was saved. I prayed for my baby brother for 23 years before he was saved. Don't tell me God doesn't hear answer prayer. He doesn't always answer it in the time frame that we want it. Sometimes we have to wait, but he will answer your prayer. See, Paul was eager to deliver his message. Paul's purpose was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul never got over glorying in the miracle of grace, nor have I. The persecutor of Christians have been saved by grace. He was out doing his job, but one day God showed him something better. Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem to explain grace. Grace made salvation a gift. Oh, friends, don't you know? You know, he said, if you repent, if you tell God that you're sorry for your sins, and you invite him into your heart, he will save you. That's a gift, unmerited love. We do not deserve heaven. We deserve the bowels of hell. But because of the terrible price that Jesus paid on Calvary, he gave us a gift of salvation. Grace made legalism obsolete. Did you hear me? There's too many legalists running around today. Grace was made possible by Christ sacrifice for all of us. Listen, no wonder Paul couldn't be stopped. We have the same message to deliver. What's stopping us from carrying out our call? Number one, is it because you think you're uneducated? Number two, because you think you're timid. Number three, you don't have any money. Number four, don't know the Bible. Well, God won't accept these excuses. We will all someday stand before God and give an account for our lives. Oh, listen. Come to Jesus tonight. You say, Cecil, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. All right. Have you led a soul to Christ this year? Have you witnessed to someone this year? I'm waiting for your answer. Well, you should do it, because you're plenty qualified if you're born again. That's right. And if you know John 3:16, you got enough ammunition to win the world. Did you know that? Oh, yes, you do. Well, anyway, you say, but Cecil, I really am not born again. I go to church. I read the Bible. I pray. But, you know, I don't have the assurance that you talk about that I'm going to heaven. You can have it. The minute you repent of your sins and invite Christ in your heart, He will give you the assurance by His Holy Spirit that you've been born again. And regardless of what the Pentecostals say, you will receive the Holy Spirit the moment that Jesus comes in. Then He removes the heart of flesh and gives you the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. You say, Cecil, I'm convinced. My life is a mess. My life is ruined. I just so sick and tired of being sick and tired. Tired of losing my job. Tired of me and my wife fighting and fussing. My kids fighting and fussing. Can I have peace with God tonight? You sure can, dear friend. If you'll do what Jesus asked you to do. Confess that you're a sinner. Then tell Him you're sorry. And He'll change your life. I'll help you pray that prayer right now. Dear friend, please don't pray this prayer unless you really, really mean it. It could get you in a lot of trouble. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh God, forgive me and come into my heart and save me tonight. For Jesus' sake, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Friend, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I am only concerned where you spend eternity. So right now, if you feel I can help you spiritually, please call me. 303-471-8534.
And from the right.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Mould. Thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. And oh, I pray I said something that will help you to grow in grace. And if you got saved tonight, if you received Christ, oh, I want to hear from you. I want to remember you to pray for you. You know, I advise anyone that gives their heart to Christ, get a good study Bible, get into that Bible, find a church that honors Jesus Christ, and follow the Lord in New Testament baptism by immersion, and then start asking the Lord, what do you want for my life? I did that for 10 months, and then God called me to preach. Now, I'm not saying God's going to call you to preach, but I tell you right now, he's sure looking for witnesses. He's not looking for big shots or super spirituals. He's looking for servants, people who will be available when he calls on us. Well, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.